I'm Meredith Southard, and I'm here today speaking with John Snaufer. It's October 23rd, 2019, and we are at the Old Rectory. And we're talking today about your experiences growing up in Colonial Hills and your current day impressions of it. So I'd like to begin by asking, what would you like listeners to know about the Colonial Hills of your childhood?
The Colonial Hills of my childhood was kind of like a mini city. We had our own elementary school, of course. There were just hundreds and hundreds of kids. We had our own little supermarket, actually maybe two, that we could go to or run errands to for our parents. We had our own park. We had our own celebrations. So we knew, of course, we were in Worthington, but we didn't really have to leave Colonial Hills to have a good time or do a lot of other things that one might do in another city. So we were very, very close in terms of school-age kids. And it seemed like if anybody grew up in Worthington, they grew up in Colonial Hills first, and then they moved on to different parts of Worthington. I don't know if you want to say it was unfortunate or good that I stayed in the same house for like 21 years. But it was neat to be in that area because everyone was just so close. And the neighborhood was just fun to play in. And the parents were great. So it kind of had, as I would say, Ozzie and Harriet attitude, Donna Reed, Leave It to Beaver, those kinds of TV shows that you saw in the early 60s that had that kind of attitude on it.
So. Yeah, like an all-American childhood.
All-American, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And I guess to bookend that question, what would you like listeners to know about today's Colonial Hills?
Well, I have not stayed away from Colonial Hills. I drive through there a lot with my wife who also lived there. And it's neat to see all the young families there and all the young kids there. And I'm not quite sure what the number of generation it would be, but at least maybe like a fourth generation of people now live there from when I lived there. And in fact, we had a 4th of July celebration a couple of years ago where on our block where we had people who originally lived there go through the houses. And the people who live there now were very interested in the past and very welcoming to have people come in and go through the houses and tell them stories. So it's a community now with it's got a lot of pride. I can't believe the prices of the houses. I think Dad paid somewhere between $12,000 and $17,000 for their house, and now you can buy them for $200,000 or $300,000. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a very desirable place to live.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great place to maybe have your first house. And I have even thought if I would ever move back there, if I became, you know, single again, a widow or anything like that. But I don't think I could afford it.
Yeah, well, my next question was, do you still live there? But you don't, obviously.
I do not, no. My dad, who was born here in Worthington, my dad was actually born in the Griswold Inn back in 1921, took a short stint of work. He was an architect in New Philadelphia, Ohio. So I was actually born in New Philadelphia, Ohio. I spent 6 months up there. But we moved to 302 Lubman Avenue, brand new home, in June of 1953.
Oh, wow.
And so then I went through grade school at Colonial Hills. And I had two older brothers. They went to Sharon Elementary and then moved on to the high school. But my mom passed away in 2004, and she lived there, of course, with Dad. My dad then lived in the house until 2007.
Wow.
So that was many, many years.
Doing the math, it's like 50-plus years.
50-plus years in the same house. And they put on a little addition in the back right away. Because having three boys, the kitchen wasn't quite as big as you would need. So they added on an eating area. They added on a carport and a patio in the back. So, but they had a gravel driveway for almost 40 years.
Wow.
No blacktop.
Huh. And so we've already answered the question of when your parents moved to Colonial Hills. How old were you when you moved?
I moved out right before I got married, which was 1975.
Okay.
So, the summer of 75.
Okay.
Was when I officially moved out for good.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I don't know.
Yeah.
21 years, 22 years, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What are your memories of Colonial Hills Elementary School?
I remember a lot more free space because now it is so overcrowded and packed in there. There have been, I think, 3 additions to Colonial Hills, so there was a lot more room for playgrounds. I remember the ravine, which we were allowed to play in before they built the walkway that goes onto the other side towards Rush Creek. Being very dense, and so we could play like hiding games in there. We called it the vines. I remember playing sports on the other side then, where there were a couple baseball fields. I remember it, again, as being a very secure place. I would walk to school in the morning. I would come home for lunch. I would walk back after lunch and then walk home. Once in a while, ride my bike, but I didn't really need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having Cub Scouts there for several years and having the meetings there for the pack, yeah. And meeting a lot of new kids. I had great teachers. I still remember, I think, all but one of their names. And it was just a fun place to be.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like since it was such a new neighborhood, you probably had a lot of kids moving in from other places. And
yeah, I remember even kindergarten. Kindergarten was not at the school. Kindergarten was on Salby at a lady's home. Her name was Mrs. Kessmeyer. And then later she went into the schools. But for a while, she was at her house. There was another lady that had a kindergarten class up towards Indianola. So after that, then we would all go to first grade.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us knew each other before we even went into the school.
Oh, yeah.
Just from those places and then just playing around.
And then did you stick with each other as a class, like all the way through senior year of high school?
I still have somewhere like 8 original friends from grade school today that we are very close. And I had, with my 2 older brothers, then I knew a lot of people who were older, and I still see them around town, and we still talk about Colonial Hills all the time, and their memories, too, and, you know, once you're there, you never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned that you did a lot of, you know, like walking to school on your own. Was it the sort of thing where you were just free-range kids, and there wasn't a fear of letting you...
I mean,
on your own and...
we knew basically when to be home for dinner.
Yeah.
And if you weren't home at 6 o'clock or whatever, then some of the parents would be out yelling for you. Or they would just go ahead and have dinner without you and come home, and then you get a little bit in trouble. Because where I lived, it wasn't too far to Colonial Hills and it wasn't too far to Selby Park or the other houses. So we're either playing football at those places or baseball, or something out in the street, riding our bikes around, that you could get throughout the whole Colonial Hills area, you know, from like Foster to Indianola in a couple minutes, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty much considered that at nighttime you're in by dark. You try to sneak out at dark again and play more games at night. But nope, you know, the parents weren't out there walking the streets looking for you or... It was safe.
Yeah.
We're talking basically like from, I don't want to say 1958-ish, but through 66, that time period. Because there were kids who were my age at the time, say 7 or 8 years old, a couple years younger to like my brother's age. And people looked out for other people.
Mm-hmm. And I had on my list here, did you ever attend Sharon's school, which it doesn't sound like you did, but do you remember anything about what it was like when that school became part of Columbus?
No.
Okay.
My brothers would.
Yeah.
And some of the older people, again, that were their friends, they still talk about Sharon. Mm-hmm. And I thought that there might have been some type of a Sharon school, like alumni group, but
oh.
I never hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of people who on Facebook, when they're talking about Colonial Hills, they'll bring up Sharon School.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to me, it was something that I would pass going down to Graceland Shopping Center if I rode my bike down Foster all the way to the blind school. So you'd pass the school and like, oh, well, that's where my brothers went.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool that you could ride your bike down to Graceland.
Yeah. It wasn't until later that I was allowed to ride down on High Street.
Uh-huh.
But you could ride your bike all the way down to the blind school and actually go through the blind school down to High Street until finally they kind of started blocking it off. And then we had to make a turn on Kanawha and then go to High Street.
But yeah.
We'd ride our bike down there to play miniature golf, go bowling, go to Woolco's. Isley's ice cream, things like that.
Yeah, I went on a little drive with Jennifer here through Colonial Hills, and it's got to be weird to have gone to a school that no longer exists, the Sharon School, because now it's just a big open park.
Right.
But yeah, it sounds like it was definitely part of the history there.
Yeah. And you know, when you look back at the history of Worthington and when it was chartered as a city. You know, there was the arguments with Columbus about that area as to be annexed or not.
Yeah.
It's kind of too bad.
Yeah. Sort of in the same vein, did you have friends who went to the Homedale School?
I didn't have friends at the time that we were growing up, but of course when we got together in middle school, then everybody who went to Homedale, you know, they'd let you know. And I still a couple of my friends from the class of 1970 went to Homedale, and they still talk about Homedale. And you know, when I was little, I can't even remember when I really knew what Homedale was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably junior high, but that was somewhere down on High Street.
Yeah,
off the road somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, is it? I think it's Worthington Christian Elementary now.
One of those private schools. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if your friends, this probably never came up in conversation, but did they mention what it was like when Homedale became part of the Columbus school system, which would have been 1968?
Yeah.
I guess you would have been
They would have been through going
yeah.
going there for a few years. But even today, they feel sorry that it kind of was lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of good things about it. To say, when my class has reunions, a lot of times we do tours, like other classes do of the high school, but we also do our elementaries.
Oh, fun.
So this coming year is my 50th high school reunion. So there is part of our committee that has, I think, already made arrangements with the people from Homedale Christian School or whatever to be able to go through there again. So that'll be neat for them.
Yeah, it's always interesting to go back to your places like that because they seem so much smaller when you go back.
Yeah,
And that entire time, we did some research and looked into the sort of the fight between Columbus and Worthington and where would Colonial Hills end up, and it seemed like that was a contentious time period.
Yeah, my dad used to talk about it, and he would always bring up Mayor Sensenbrenner.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the situation, I guess, with the water treatment plant and how the water was going to get there and so on. So it's about all I can remember about it. But
yeah, because you would have been pretty young.
I was, real young. And my dad was actually on the charter committee for the city of Worthington. So he was pretty involved in that at the time in the 50s. I think it was 1952 or so or three when he came back that he was on that board.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've seen a lot of writings about it. So,
some
pretty heavy meetings, I guess.
Yeah. well, you've talked a lot about playing and what you did with your neighbors. Do you have any other recollections of where you played or what sort of games you did?
The biggest thing would have been the 4th of July celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Our particular neighborhood. I lived on Loveman between Foster and Greenwich. Mm-hmm. And as far as I can remember, we had maybe one or two of the only like blocks that were blocking off the street and had 4th of July picnic right in the street.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have counted many times. We are somewhere like 80 kids on that block. Of course, you know the old adage that it's three kids per family, basically. And some are four, some are six, some are two. But the whole block would get together, bring out all the tables, put them in the middle of the street. We had a man that had colored banners, and he would take them across the different houses all across the street and put those out. It seemed like each mother had a famous dish, and she would have that. My mother got from my grandmother the original Waldorf Astoria red velvet cake, which I still have every year for my birthday. And it includes the original Crisco, hard Crisco lard for the icing. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
It is. And we'd be riding our bikes up and down the street. Didn't have to worry about cars because the ends of the street were blocked off. In the morning, of course, was the parade at Selby Park. So we would dress up, the guys would dress up maybe as World War II Army guys, because this is 1956, 58.
Yeah.
World War II was still on the minds of a lot of people. We'd try to sneak out a white T-shirt and then rip it and then steal the ketchup out of the refrigerator and then put blood on our shirts. Some of us even had World War I helmets at one point.
Oh, wow. Like official
ones. Official ones. And they were heavy.
Yeah.
And then some of them would have, I don't know if they were real, but would have World War II helmets. And some of us would have a wagon and we'd make that our tank. Some of them would walk. The girls on the block, they were real fancy. They would do maybe ballerinas and dancing groups. I don't recall actually decorating my bike to be in the parade, but a lot of kids did that with the crepe paper and through the spokes. My dad built a float that my middle brother was in with a couple of the other neighborhood kids in 59 when Hawaii came in as a state.
Oh, fun.
They stole my sandbox and built a grass hut and had posters on it. And I thought they may have just put roller skates on the bottom.
Yeah.
And they pulled it along. And a couple of them had Navy uniforms on. And a couple of them were hula girls. And they won first place.
Oh,
and in those days, it was a silver dollar. So I don't remember if everybody got a silver dollar or whether they had to split a dollar. So I don't know. And so that was a lot of fun. And then after that would be the games. And I know they still have games today. But they had bingo. They had running races. They had like basketball, shooting, cane toss. There was refreshments and bakery. And the Wilcox family, who lived out on Smoky Road, would bring their ponies over. So we would have pony rides.
That's wonderful.
And a dunking machine. So.
Oh my gosh.
And then, of course, at night were the fireworks.
Yeah.
Up on Indianola.
Okay, I was going to ask where they
set up on the railroad tracks there at the park. And I wasn't allowed to go up there, but I was able to sneak up there later, you know, when I'm middle school and high school, we'd go up there and sit on somebody's roof or something. The trees weren't quite as tall as they are now. So that was a lot of fun. You always look forward to that.
Was that was the fireworks celebration the destination for all of Worthington?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I forget the year that they actually quit doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else would know that, but I had moved away by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds just amazing.
Yeah, and the Colonial Hill Civic Association, from what I understand, does a good job now, and they try to have, as best they can, a great parade. They have a running race, 3K, I think, and they have some games. And it's a good time for that area town just to get together by themselves and have fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems a good opportunity for people to really come out and mingle with their neighbors and just relax.
The other thing with Selby Park, The Worthington City used to have fun centers, and they went all the way back to my time. So the original shelter house that was on there was just a square little hut almost. It did have a ping pong table in there. But if you were like under 12 years old, you weren't allowed to play ping pong because the older guys had that in there. But I remember arts and crafts, doing lanyards or pot holders for mom. And then sometimes at night they would show movies, like, you know, Woody Woodpecker cartoons or things like that. And that was always fun to do.
Neat. Yeah. Were they like outdoors?
They were outdoors. And once in a while they would have a dance for the teenagers outdoors. And again, there was like an unofficial line around Selby Park where nobody under 12 was allowed to cross over and be in that part of the dance. So we always had to stay on the other side and listen to the music.
Do you remember any other neighborhood celebrations? Like, did you all do anything for Thanksgiving or Christmas, or was that more like family-oriented?
In the winter, the best recreation was going to Devil's Hill and sledding.
Oh, where's Devil's Hill at?
What's the name of this? Lake Ridge.
Okay.
So you're coming down Park, and you have the park area, Park, and on the south side of Park is the creek. And up above it soon would be Lake Ridge, which were built houses from the 60s, kind of modern houses. Mm-hmm. And so you had this hill that swooped down and around along the creek. And then you had another hill that went straight down and had a little dip. Oh. So that was called the Devil's Hill because it was a tough place to go and you were afraid to do it. And only the courageous kids would do it. And I wouldn't do it. I remember going down one time on the normal hill, and I tried to jump the creek, and I didn't make it, and the sled hit the side of the creek, and my front tooth got chipped, and it didn't hurt too much. But and then there was one that was called cross country, which didn't have much of an incline, but you would go through the wooded area back there, back to Dr. Bonnell's brother's little summer retreat. And unfortunately, he was my next-door neighbor, crashed his sled, and part of the slats of the sled went through his leg. So that was just kind of the end of all that fun. So I think it's still open today. They've tried to clear that area, but I'm not sure how often it gets used in the winter. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. Yeah. We also had a man down the street who would dress up as Santa Claus. And he would make the route on Christmas Eve to all the houses. And for the longest time, I believed he was Santa Claus. And one of my most favorite pictures to post on Facebook is a picture of me with Santa Claus when I'm like 6 years old. And I even borrowed his suit when I was first married. And my nephew was born. So I showed up at his house in that same suit. To pretend to be Santa Claus.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Other than that, I think it was just the normal get together after school, mm-hmm. play baseball, play football, play basketball. At night, kick the can or just wiffle ball out in the street, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Yeah. That's great. Do you remember a Colonial Hills post office?
I do. And I remember going to it, walking up with mom, if she ever needed to send anything. And, you know, people will argue about, well, there was one or there wasn't one. And I had to prove to somebody just recently where it was. So we drove up and there was the staircase from outside going down to the basement. So I got out of the car, took a picture of it, posted.
So it was just in a private residence?
Yeah, on the corner of Park and Meadoway Park. Oh. I don't know how it started, whether the post office wanted it or whether a lady suggested it at the house, but I can remember going down and it was just like a little window.
Oh my gosh.
It didn't have more than enough room for two or three, four people.
Wow.
So mom could go up and buy stamps and mail something.
Yeah.
The other thing with that is, at the southeast corner of Colonial Hills up by Indianola and the railroad tracks was a little building that had different names. One was called like the Little White, one was called the Colonial Market, and it was just your neighborhood run to the store, get milk or bread, but it also had a gigantic candy counter. So we could run up there. Mom says, run up and go get a gallon of milk or something. So I say, okay, can I have 5 cents? So we didn't get jawbreakers or candy buttons or licorice or something as our reward for riding up there. So
yeah, it's like your tax for running the errands.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And in the last 20 years, it's been maybe like a daycare center. Maybe it's even a residence now. I'm not sure. But it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask, where did your parents shop at? I mean, obviously, yeah. The little grocery store there.
Yeah. And I can remember young going down to Graceland and shopping at Albers.
Okay.
They didn't do Big Bear. They did Albers, which was more to High Street. Big Bear was down a little bit. And I don't think there was a Kroger yet. Kroger comes later.
There was a Big Bear in Graceland. Oh, I didn't know that.
And Big Bear was at the end of like the first section. And Albers was up towards High Street more.
Okay.
And it seemed like it was every Friday night we would go there. My mom did not drive until the 1980s. So Dad took her everywhere. Mm-hmm. And later when my dad's business changed to Uptown Worthington, then Mom would start to go to the home market, which my dad worked at when he was a kid and I worked at when I was in college for a few years. But Graceland would have carnivals. They'd bring in Ferris wheels and all other kinds of rides. So, you know, if it wasn't state fair time and the carnival came in, that was a place to have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And bowling alley.
Oh, neat.
No theater yet. But there was the old clothing store, The Union. And there was a record store, so we could go down and buy our 45s or LPs. And they had the record players in the back where you could go and listen to the record before you even bought it.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, were you there for the height of, like, Beatlemania?
Yeah. In fact, watching the Beatles the first time they were on Ed Sullivan was in that house. And I can remember coming down stairs to watch it and convincing Dad to watch it and just hearing, like, my God, what are they saying? Or look at their hair. And yeah. So as I would say to my wife now, he says, you know, we can actually understand what the Beatles were saying. Nowadays, it's you can't.
Yeah.
So that's my grown-up voice now. Oh. Yeah. And I forget the name of the record store, but you could also go down each week. WCOL used to be the rock and roll station on radio, and they would put out a top 40 hit list every week. And it wasn't just more than a sheet of paper, but everybody would want to know what the number one song was, and you'd run down there and pick up that up.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. The Miniature Golf was where Bob Evans is now.
Oh, huh.
So that was neat, and, you know, scrounge around for 50 cents, play around a putt-putt. Mm-hmm. My buddy and I would ride our bikes down there. And then later when you get older, that was a nice date place to go. So.
Yeah, and I'm guessing High Street was not as busy as it is now.
No, I mean, it was still four lanes.
Yeah.
And the buses ran down there. And I wasn't too scared riding my bike when I was little. Mm-hmm. On the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I think I might have skipped a question, or maybe not. I don't know if you... I was just thinking of how Colonial Hills was built up in order to house the workers at the airport.
Right, North American.
Near the airport, yeah.
Curtis Wright and North American, yeah.
Yeah. Was your father involved in that at all?
He did work out there.
Okay.
Which was one of the reasons why we moved there. I mean, there are other reasons, but from what I can remember, and of course what other people have said, you know, like Selby and Kenbrook was built first, and the park was built. And then my section, which would have been Loveman over to Colonial, was built after the war. Mm-hmm. And I remember people saying that my family, who owned a quarry out on the Scioto River, did all the roads in Colonial Hills with all the stones when they built. So we have pictures of that. And, of course, George Campbell has all the pictures that he's collected. And the aerial view shots that he has found that shows, like, the different sections of how they were built or when they were built is neat to see.
Yeah. Yeah, we hope to talk to him.
Yeah.
Oh. He sounds like a good
person. I'm an amateur compared to him with that. Yeah. But he's a little bit younger, so he doesn't have all the memories that I do.
Oh, yeah. And I had a question, like most subdivisions in Worthington, Colonial Hills had a restrictive covenant that prevented African Americans from purchasing a house in the neighborhood, which was done away with the Fair Housing Act of 1968. Do you remember this being an issue or something that your parents or neighbors talked about at all?
I do not remember it. I mean, right off the bat, I did not know anything about that.
Yeah.
I could probably say I wasn't really aware that there weren't any African Americans in our neighborhood. Although when I got to junior high, which would have been 64, 65, many of the African American families that lived in the northern part or just to the eastern part of Worthington, I knew already from Little League Sports. Mm-hmm. And they were great friends. And, of course, my dad and mom went to Worthington and had many African-American friends. So I know there was some restrictions, and I know that there were some problems. I don't know about Colonial Hills actually having meetings or anything mm-hmm. about restrictions. But mm-hmm. Just something at my age wasn't really that part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's
sad
to say. I mean, but I was awful young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't sound like there was an enormous controversy to the point where it trickled down to the kids, and the kids
right.
were really aware of it.
Right, and I don't want to give out false information, but I do believe I've heard that Worthington Estates had problems
okay.
when Worthington Estates was built, mm-hmm. which would have been the mid-60s, the mm-hmm. later 60s, yeah.
Do you remember anything about the Vietnam War and how that draft affected your neighbors or friends?
I know that there were some of my older brother's classmates that were drafted. And I can recall maybe one or two that were killed mm-hmm. from Colonial Hills. That I know of, there's nothing ever been done by Colonial Hills Association people. I mean, the high school would have done things, and there's some memorials at the high school for those people. Again, the earliest things I can really remember goes to high school. Just would have been like Kent State
mm-hmm.
Time period, and going backwards a little bit. I do remember when John Kennedy was shot, and the principal waited until 3 o'clock to come on to the PA and tell us as a school that the President of the United States had been shot. So I said, okay. Okay, who's the president,
yeah.
basically? I went out for safety patrol. And then after that was done, I ran home to mom and said, what's going on?
Was so, everyone just in an uproar in your neighborhood?
I can't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I would say there were definitely more Republicans than Democrats, so I'm going to say that there were probably some people smiling that this had happened.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say more than that.
Yeah.
I do remember the funeral on TV and all that, and watching it actually at my grandmother's a lot, too.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember too much about Vietnam on TV in the news until I was really more in high school. But then that became more aware of what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always on the TV at dinner time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't. I was going to ask, did your family had a TV at home? Did you guys watch much TV? Or were you too busy out playing?
Tried to watch cartoons on Saturday mornings. Dad kind of controlled the TV, which is another story. So we kind of watched what he wanted to watch, although I do remember, of course, watching the shows I mentioned before, Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith and Then maybe at night, once in a while, I might be able to watch like Ed Sullivan or something like that. But usually I was upstairs studying. Mm-hmm. I remember the day we got a color TV, which was in the fall of 1969. And coming home, and my mom had turned on a college football game, and it was in color, and I just thought, wow. But there was a family down the street in our block whose father worked for RCA. So he had the first color television on the block. And this would go back several more years, and we would always be invited down there to watch Peter Pan. The original Peter Pan with Mary Martin in color, and then The Wizard of Oz, and then when Dorothy comes out and everything turns to color. Yeah. All the kids are going, wow.
Was that shown at a particular day of the year?
It probably was, but I can't really remember. Yeah.
That's great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about Colonial Hills that we haven't covered?
I don't know. Some people might think maybe I'd led a sheltered life in Colonial Hills, because it was so good. My family was great. I can remember some kids getting into trouble with their parents, you know, for being out too late or whatever, but it was just a fantastic time. Yeah. And like I said earlier, we had a reunion about 10 years ago. We had another reunion about 5 years ago of all the original, or as many as the original people that we could find all over the country. And they came back.
Wonderful.
And again, we had 50 to 60 people come back.
Wow.
And of course, now the kids are the parents or the grandparents. And we all think about when our parents were what we are now. So I'm 67. And I think back to when my parents were 67. And I'm thinking back to when my mom was 30.
Yeah.
And had me. And I think, man, that was a long time ago. But. it's still up there in the brain. People will never forget it.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking today.
Okay.
This has been great.
Well, it's been fun. Yeah. My pleasure.